Call screening. How may I help you? My name's Sharon Green. I'm calling from the JFK school. I was talking with one of my students today, and he said that his mother hit him last night. I know his family's having a hard time dealing with his behaviors. He was recently diagnosed with ADHD, ODD, and is being tested to see if he has a learning disability. Is there anything you can do to help him? We can send a worker out to investigate. Let me get more information from you. Hello, my name's Sarah Marker. Thank you for listening to a podcast describing what happens after a call is received by a Child Protective Services agency. This podcast was created for professionals who may not know the process that starts with a phone call, just like the one we heard. People naturally become anxious over the unknown. This applies to being involved with a Child Protective Services agency, or CPS for short. Many think that the caseworker is just going to come in and take their children. This is the last thing the caseworkers want to do. There's a need for reporting sources, schools, and services to have a better understanding of the process that occurs once CPS gets a report. Being involved with the Child Protective Services agency can cause a variety of emotions for all involved. This is because most people do not understand the process. Let's face it, it's not something that a family typically plans for. Sometimes the situation is caused by outside sources, and other times it's due to the family being stressed or trying to deal with a situation that's beyond their skills to handle. That's where CPS comes in. Caseworkers work with families to, first and foremost, keep the children in a safe and appropriate home. If the home environment needs to make changes to assure safety, we work with the family to try and place the children with appropriate caregivers that are known to the family. This is called kinship care. If this isn't an option, then we will place the children in another appropriate location to meet their needs. But before we get this far, let's go back to the beginning. CPS was created by state laws to protect children from abuse and neglect. Once CPS receives a call, the call screening worker will determine if it is necessary for a case to be opened with CPS services. These services are required when a child has been injured, abused, sexually molested by their parents or caretakers, children are not adequately cared for or watched, parents are not able to care for children, and no other responsible adult is available, and in certain situations, when parents need help with their problems or their children's problems. The call screener will take vital information, like names, addresses, phone numbers, ages, and descriptions of abuse or neglect. The person calling in does not have to give their name. Anonymous reports are looked into just as thoroughly as ones in which a reporting source is named. Some professionals, in their working capacity, are mandated reporters. This means that if they are told any information regarding concerns of child abuse or neglect, they are legally required to report it. Social workers, medical and mental health professionals, teachers, and child care providers are some examples of mandated reporters. Once the call screener collects the information, it is sent to an intake worker. This worker is responsible for doing the investigation and starting the case record. They will read the report, meet with their supervisor, and meet with all parties to discuss the allegation. Let's use our example call. Miss Green was calling in about Marcus McGee. He is 10 years old and is hard to control. The intake worker will talk to Mom, Dad, Marcus, any siblings, and Miss Green. The intake worker will go to the home, ensure that the home is free of safety hazards, has working utilities, has appropriate food and sleeping arrangements, too. A home has to meet minimum standards. These standards may seem less than ideal for many, but are what's necessary to meet the basic needs of the child. Let's take a look at some possibilities for Ms. McGee's case. When interviewing Mother, she tells us that Marcus was just trying to jump off the table after I told him no many times. I reached to grab him before he jumped on our dog, and I missed his shoulder and hit him in the face. This story will be compared to what Marcus tells the intake worker during a separate interview. If he is found to be safe at home, the case may be closed at this point. If the family needs services to give them the support that they need, those will be put into place. These services are typically free of charge to the families. These services may be offered in the family's home or require the parents or family members to use community resources. These can include mental health treatment, therapy, drug and alcohol counseling, and parenting classes. If a parent does not have insurance, some fees may be the responsibility of the parent. The caseworker will meet with the parents, service providers, the child, and other recognized members of the case to create a document that outlines what CPS is requiring the family to do in order to have the CPS intervention end. This is called the Family Service Plan, or FSP. This plan will list the goals, like for Marcus to follow the household rules. The plan will identify how to accomplish the goal. For this goal, the FSP may require that Marcus complete a mental health treatment program and that his mother complete a parenting class and use the skills she has learned to deal with his behaviors. The FSP will also state when the goals are to be completed by, as well as when the FSP will be reviewed again. The FSP is a checklist for parents and youth to follow to prove to the court that they have made the changes necessary to address the concerns that brought the case in. Family service plans are also completed for non-court active cases. The law mandates that families have a short period of time to complete these goals, especially if the case is court active. Parents must show that they are making significant progress on their goals within 12 months. After that time, the court is required to look at changing the plan for the child to something other than returning home. These options include permanent legal custody and adoption, but we'll talk about those soon. But what if the investigation found that Marcus picked a fight with his younger sister and hurt her? And what if Mom used the cutting board to hit him, in her view, to stop him from hitting his sister? When implements are used to cause injury to a child, the action makes it the highest level of risk for the child to have, and it would most likely be recommended that Marcus be removed from the home. The caseworker will obtain an order from the court granting permission to remove the child. If a child is removed from the home, there will be a court hearing called a shelter hearing that is scheduled within 72 hours of the removal. The parents will be invited to attend the hearing and can have attorneys representing them. An important thing to remember, and that is often the point of conflict for many families, is that even if one parent is not active in the child's life, CPS is required to find and inform the non-active parent every step of the way. He or she has the ability to have their own opinions heard. At this hearing, the shelter hearing, the information as to why it was necessary to have the child taken from the home is presented, and all parties will be able to express their concerns and opinions. The court will decide as to whether the child can return home immediately or if further plans need to be made. The court has the ultimate say in what happens once a child is removed and placed in care. CPS prefers for children to be placed with appropriate family members when possible. Criminal background checks and home inspections will be conducted to ensure the child's safety. If no family members are appropriate, then the child may be placed in shelter or foster care. If a child is placed, parents have the ability to visit unless the court determines otherwise. Parents can contact the caseworker to arrange for the visitation. As long as a parent retains their parental rights, they will be told where the child is unless it is a safety risk for them to know. Typically, visitation is allowed a minimum of once every 2 weeks, but could be as often as every day depending on the court order. The next hearing that is scheduled is a dependency hearing. The dependency hearing determines whether allegations of abuse or neglect concerning a child are sustained by the evidence, and if so, are legally sufficient to support state intervention on behalf of the child. This hearing will be scheduled if the situation fits the guidelines as defined by the state law. This can include a child being without proper parental care or control for his physical, mental, or emotional health. At this hearing, the information as to why the child fits one of the grounds for dependency will be presented. Parents and the child can present witnesses and present opinions. The judge will decide if the child is dependent. If the judge finds so, the family will have review hearings on a regular basis to discuss the progress made, as well as if and when the child can return home. The intake worker completes the initial investigation, which is usually in less than 90 days. The intake worker then transfers the case to an ongoing caseworker. Once the ongoing worker receives a case, they review the information and meet with family members on a regular basis. It is the ongoing services worker's job to tell the court how the family is doing and what the recommendation of the CPS agency is. The ongoing caseworker works closely with each family to help them meet their FSP goals. They might refer the family to services. Parents or youth over the age of consent will be asked to sign releases of information, which is a form that allows the caseworker to gather reports from outside agencies to determine where the family may need more assistance. As it was asked for in the FSP, the worker may refer Marcus to a community mental health provider to determine if he needs medication as well as therapy. His mother may have a specialized counselor to work with her on understanding Marcus's therapy and then learning skills to deal with his behavior. These can include ideas she may not have thought of. Let's look at another possible outcome for Marcus's case. Example 1. Marcus was placed in shelter and a dependency hearing was held. He was found dependent and placed in a residential treatment facility after having a mental health evaluation. A residential treatment facility, or RTF, is a group home where youth live at while getting their education and mental health treatment in a structured environment. This case is referred to the ongoing services worker, who ensures that mother is visiting consistently and is referred to the programs that she needs. Mother demonstrates that she has a better understanding of how to deal with Marcus's behaviors by Marcus having home visits in which there are little to no problems. This process takes anywhere from 3 months to a year. The court will review the case every 3 months, and if there is appropriate proof that the family has addressed the concerns and it's safe for Marcus to return home, the court will order it. The caseworker will continue to work with and monitor the case. Once it is determined that there is no longer need for the court supervising the case will be closed. At this time, the CPS case may close or remain open for a period to further ensure stability. The second example is to explain if things don't go as smoothly. Marcus is placed in a shelter and then found dependent. He does not meet the criteria for an RTF, so he is placed in a group home with other males approximately his age. He receives mental health treatment and structure given by staff of the facility. He has to earn levels to gain privileges. Marcus is working on his needs. After Marcus's removal from the house, his mother may choose to not actively work on her goals that are in her control. This can include having appropriate housing, ensuring a suitable income to meet the family's needs, and enrolling in drug and alcohol treatment if needed. The caseworker attempts to make many home visits and leaves messages on mother's voicemail, but she doesn't respond. After trying to reach mother for 4 months, mother finally calls back and says she wants to visit. The visit occurs at the group home and it goes poorly. Mother and Marcus argue the entire time. Mother attends the visits under the influence of drugs. The caseworker is notified and mother admits to using the past few months. She signed over custody of Marcus's sister to her father a few weeks ago. From this point, Marcus continues to work on his goals, but has a few bumps in the road as a result of learning about his mother's condition. Marcus is then moved to a foster home. Mother continues to struggle within her addiction and is making minimal progress on her FSP goals. Now remember, we talked about the other parent being involved? Well, Marcus's father has not been active in Marcus's life since he was 3, and that's when him and his mother separated. Marcus's father is now married and has another family. He tells the caseworker that he does not want to gain custody of Marcus. A year passes and Marcus is still in placement. The ongoing services worker then must go to court and recommend that the goal for Marcus be changed from reunification to another permanent goal. Due to Marcus being in a home that he feels safe in and that is meeting his needs, the caseworker discusses with the foster parents the option of adopting. They decide that this is one that they would like to pursue. The caseworker goes into court and recommends that the goal be changed to adoption. As mother has not completed what has been asked of her, the court changes the goal to adoption. A termination of parental rights hearing is held, and evidence as to why both mother and father's rights should be terminated is presented. The parents have the right to be present and to present any information as to why they feel their rights should not be terminated. Marcus's father is in agreement with his rights being terminated and signs a voluntary termination paper. The court rules for the termination, and Marcus is now free to be adopted. Marcus's foster parents complete the required paperwork for adoption, and Marcus legally becomes their son. They change his last name to theirs, and his record with CPS is sealed. Please remember that this is only one example and is in no way a complete description of how every county handles a case. If you have questions about policies and procedures, try looking online for your county's CPS agency. The webpage can commonly be found at the county webpage under Department of Human or Child Services. I'd like to end this podcast with a few things to remember. Every agency has an emergency call line that answers 24 hours a day. This may be the same number for the police. Caseworkers typically have a large caseload and may be hard to reach at times, so make sure that you have the contact numbers for the service workers assigned to the family. Don't be afraid to call the supervisor if you cannot reach the worker. Every case has meetings and home visits and crises. Parents and youth have the right to be represented in a court by an attorney. Some counties may offer free or sliding scale representation. Every county has different resources and does things differently. Reports are investigated because the law requires them to be. The more cooperative and honest you are with the caseworker, the smoother the process goes, and the more help you are to the child. Caseworkers do not want to remove children unless it is the only way to assure safety. As one caseworker explained, being involved with CPS is like a baseball game. I'll tell you where the field is, I'll bring the bat, and I'll bring the ball. You need to make sure you warm up before coming to the plate. I'll tell you what kind of ball I'm throwing, you just need to swing. Another metaphor is used to describe court. There's two columns, pluses and minuses. The client makes the pluses and the minuses. It's the caseworker's job to present this in court and make a recommendation to it. I hope this explanation helps you in understanding the process and how vital your role in it is. Thank you very much for listening.